I think a very first movement when we practice, when we sit, when we come into the hall, or when we go out to walk, a small memory is a tiskorit katan of refuge that stays with us then. It's a sense of being held. It's a sense of being supported in an insecure world. And it's just a small reminder that we can give ourselves to feel supported and held without really worrying what it is that's supporting us. Okay, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, but just a small memory. I'm at home. The retreat does that for us as well. I'm at home. The practice is growing our ability to witness what arises. And it grows step by step. The more we practice, the more the sense of witnessing, the sense of presence, hanochuchut, ha'edut, pashut yudim ma kore, yudim ma ole, yudim shani kayam, yudim she derech shesh chushim kol hazman yesh giruim, stimulation through the senses. In a way, if we im anachnu margishim nochuchut, that's it. We don't need to worry too much about what actually happens and what, if we're practicing or not practicing. We are practicing. The slogan of non-dual Mahayana practice is no effort, nothing to practice, but no distraction. Meaning, li ma'amatz aval ken nochuchut. So it's very natural. There's something there that's very natural. Im ani shoel otchem, atem kayamim. Im ani shevakeshem, put your hand up if you're existing. Everyone's going to put their hand up. Put your hand up if you exist. Yeah. We all exist. But what? How do you know that you exist? What is it that tells you that you're existing? That's it. That's the place. So from the practice, especially in this retreat, it's less important what actually you experience. So we don't go through exactly the track of, you know, body, emotion, thought, hindrances, the whole possibilities. It's much more open, in a way more open awareness. Because in a way, all we need to do is just stay with witnessing presence. I know I exist. This is what's happening right now. This is what's arising right now. It can help us to step back a little bit from our experience, to step out. To this witnessing sometimes leads us to sort of take a step out and say, what's going on? For example, in my mind. To look at a thought, we sometimes need to step back. There's an image that if we have our face touching the mirror, we're not going to see anything. In order to look at ourselves in the mirror, we need to step back a little bit. But the truth is that that place of stepping back is very dynamic. We can feel closer, we can feel further away, we can feel sometimes completely inside an experience, and sometimes we're totally there with something, and sometimes we're far away from it. It's very dynamic, it's very changing all the time. You know, maybe the Zen phrase, first there is me watching the mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is no me, then there is me watching a mountain. It's something that you know better than I do, if I got it wrong. But it's something like that. It's dynamic, our relationship with the objects of awareness. And that's fine. But all we have to do is stay in there, is keep in there, keep there with what arises. The image of a mirror is quite a good one, because the mirror, what arises is known in the mirror, is seen by the mirror. Our mind is a mirror. What arises arrives at the mirror, but the mirror is just there. It's not changed, it's not worried, it's not alarmed, it's not destroyed, it doesn't go, oh, that's really terrible, or oh, this is lovely. The mirror is just a mirror. Our mind is a little bit like that. The witnessing is a little bit like that. Eight again, it's an honest mirror of what is arising. Our honest witnessing. This is what's arising. This is what's arising. This is what's arising. If we can just keep with that, that's really the main direction. The body is certainly a helpful place. And it's just simply because it's clearer. The body tells us about now. We can't breathe in the future or the past. So it's easier in a way than the mind or the feelings. So we do spend quite a bit of time with the body. But the emphasis and dagesh on the body is light. It's not that we have to really, really be only with the body. It's just a good reminder also, if we get lost, that the body is a kind of a ground for us, where we settle into the practice again. It's easier to be a witness to God than we are. But it's light, so we're not really, we can allow in anything that happens. But we keep a light sense of the body, the awareness, as being kind of reliable place, madada, a place to explore our life. It's a reliable place to explore our life. It's a chayut, the life force. life in us. But whether it's the body or the mind, or whether listening to the birds, they're all appearing and disappearing. Everything appears and disappears in the mirror mind that we have, the witness mind. Things arrive and go. There is a sense of everything being an appearance. Morphine, appearing. And in the now, they appear now and then they go. So the witnessing tells us that things appear, because it can even rishonyut of things. They just appear. This is this moment. This is this experience. This is this breath. This is this birth. This is the noise of kibbutz machinery. This is the colors. This is the wind. This is cold. This is hot. This is my knee hurting me. Appearing, 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 going. So there'll be a lot of thinking, of course. Thoughts appear, like everything else. And what I said last night is a kind of attitude to thought that can be helpful, which is thought as kind of kishutim, display. The thought is display. The thought is just Atsaka is a display, also an appearance. Because we don't control it. Thought appears, it says something, passes away. Thought, another one appears, says something, passes away. We don't design it, we don't plan it, we don't control it. So it's in a way easier to see this sense of appearances. Ulim, Umrim Shalom, Vaz Ne'elamim. And all we need to do is say, okay, I hear you. Shalom, Ne'elam. Thoughts are like that. But it, again, if we can sense that we are the mirror, a thought appears and disappears, and the mirror stays just as it was. The mirror is just as it was. The thought crosses the mirror and goes. It's fundamental to anicca, to the teaching, the basic teaching of anicca, that things don't leave tracks. Again and again. In the early teachings, the Buddha talked about this. That impressions, appearances are trackless, en ekvot. And I know it's not so easy with a thought because it comes, but if you look at a thought it's like that, it might come back. And so we think, oh, this thought doesn't pass by. It's here all the time, like some real, oive kind of thought, a troublesome thought. It feels it's sticky, but actually if we look at it, it comes and it goes, and then it might come back, so we think, oh, I'm just thinking about a problem. What am I going to do with my life? But actually, if you look at it, if you look carefully, the thought always appears and goes and leaves no track, but it might come back. We're interested in it, we give it importance, such as Do I get married to this person? Or divorced? So we allow thought to appear and disappear, and our witnessing stays. Our witnessing is continuous, and in that witnessing, thoughts appear and disappear, appear and disappear, appear and disappear. When we get stuck with thought, it's quite helpful just to see dukkha in there. So as soon as we find ourselves identified, the hisdahut in makshava, at that moment with the identification, if we can feel that there is the tokse, yesh ezehit kavtsut, yesh kazeh dukkha, yesh ke'ev, shel hisdahut, v'shel shehamakshavot hem. And they're sticky, they're stuck to us. So the pain there, the dukkha there is helpful to us. It shows us something. That thought is controlling us. The practice doesn't need effort. If we can reduce the effort, ma'amatz, and the effort is often that there's something specific that we need to do or to achieve or to see or to get it right. If we can relax around all of that, let our life talk to us, and all we need to do is stay there with it. Let our life express itself. We listen to our life. So it can be a thought, can be a feeling, can be a body sensation, coming and going, but we are there, steady with it, listening to it, allowing it, sense of, again, being there with it. So I realize that there can be issues that come up, like tiredness and resistance and boredom and confusion and all the whole crowd of visitors that we prefer that weren't there. But them too, we can see as appearances. It may not be so easy. For example, if we feel, a couple of people said in the group yesterday, they're experiencing quite a lot of tiredness. It's okay. It happens. It's the nature of things. The body is saying, and the body-mind is saying, well, I'm just sitting and I'm not doing my normal life, so the mind is switching off and it wants to go to sleep. It's okay. Be natural. Tiredness is what's happening. As much as we can see tiredness in the mirror, this is tiredness, this is what it feels like. And then not to worry about it. If we need to go to sleep, we go to sleep. If we need, we can help for sometimes to open the eyes or stand up or do something different. But anything that turns up is chomogenim. Anything is raw material, is our stuff we work with, anything. The non-dual practice can sometimes feel confusing, Because we, from the Kita Aleph, we're told we do this, we have to do that, we need to do this, we need to do that. And then suddenly it's all open and we can say, what am I supposed to do? What's next? And the instructions are a little bit open. But indeed, if we feel that we are a bit lost and confused about what to practice or what we need, then that is just what arises. Allowing confusion, or allowing a sense of being a bit lost. And from what I was saying last night, being lost is quite an interesting place, because it's actually undoing the conceptual mind that always wants to know what it has to do and what is right and wrong and where I have to go. And the not knowing, a little bit like the tradition of the, like I said, the question that undoes things, the question that brings us, our mind, to other places, can seem like a not knowing, or a loss, or even a bit frightening. But it's on the way to a deeper sense of awareness, a deeper wisdom. We undo the mind a bit. So if you feel a bit lost, celebrate not knowing. Lachgog iyidia. Okay? Chagiga shel iyidia. And it's fine to ask a question. You know, who is lost, actually? And if questions come up, they're healthy. What is the witness? The groups are wonderful, people asking really good questions. What is it? Who is looking? And let questions that come up arise, although I would say just let them come and let them go also as a question. Just to have them there, but let them come and go as well, like everything else. So a final image, just a beautiful image that I like. That may touch us. An image that I enjoy from the Tibetan tradition. The appearances that turn up in our experience, that arise at the doorway of our awareness. In the Tibetan tradition are described as dakinis. And dakinis, this beautiful image of their dancing female entities, the dancing female energies that make the world. And they're dancing in space. So their space and the emptiness is the basis of everything, and then the world is created by these dancing people, female goddesses. And it's just a sense, it's a beautiful image, it's a sense that the appearances that appear to our consciousness is a kind of dance of life. Life is dancing in front of us. And all we need to do is appreciate it and allow it and watch it with amazement. Mamash priya. Nothing else. And it's a really different way. If we can do that with our thoughts, they're dancing dakinis, female energies. Okay, so let's take 15 minutes for practice.